Take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 20. I appreciate each person being here this morning. Mrs. Carver said, I told you I was right. She looked at her husband. We were guessing I was going to preach this morning. So knowing Pastor Tim's not here, I appreciate each person being here. Be praying for them on their trip. They still have about a whole day there left. And I know they'll be in services today. And flying back. I think they're supposed to get back tomorrow night. I think their plane's supposed to land at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. So it'll be a late night for them. So by the time they get out of Atlanta, it'll be midnight. By the time they get back here and get home, it'll be a late night for them on top of jet lag, on top of everything else. I'll be praying for them, and I look forward. If you've been following along with some of the pictures and some of the videos they've posted on Facebook and other sources, I'm sure, keep you praying for them. Last summer, I was talking with my children, and Lydia said, you know, wouldn't it be great if you could go anywhere in the United States with just one step? And then if you had to go anywhere in the world, it would just take you two steps. We were talking about that time growing up, spent some time with my parents up at the cabin and some other things. And I thought, you know what? Wouldn't that be great if you could go anywhere in the United States to just take one step? Now, Florida wouldn't seem so far away for the Carvers going to pick up their granddaughter. And some of you who have people even up in Alaska wouldn't seem quite so far if it was just one step. And I got to think, you know, it's funny about steps. You know, when you watch a little baby try to learn to walk, it's more like a shuffle than a step, but we call it a step. And most of the time, they get about halfway into that shuffle and they fall down. And you watch as people grow up and that step gets bigger. And then as they get older, that step kind of goes back to almost to a shuffle. And it's amazing when you think of steps too. Depending on what you're doing depends on what that step is. We play sometimes a mother may I or teacher may I at different places. And you tell students or kids to take a step forward and it's... And you tell them to take a step back and it's... But you know what? We're the same way. How many people love heights? How many people love heights? How many people disdain heights? There was one time my family got a chance to go to the Grand Canyon. And you get close to the edge and you watch people and their steps are, take a step closer. Take a step closer. And it's as smallest as they can get. If you think of steps, it's amazing the steps that life takes us. Just within the last several weeks, I appreciate your prayers. My grandmother passed away. Kate's grandfather passed away. I had a teacher, and it wasn't related to the flu at all. I had a teacher in high school who passed away. He was in his late 50s, early 60s, and had some bad health. And it's just amazing how quickly life comes and goes. I've mentioned this a couple of times. Some of you have heard it already. I mean, no disrespect to my wife's grandfather, but he passed away on a Saturday evening, and on Monday morning, I was with my father-in-law, brought in a whole bag of trash bags, and we started cleaning out the house. All those things, those memories, all those things that were valuable to him, all those things that were worth something to him, that he had invested money into and time into, it was a decision between goodwill and the trash can, and the trash can won most of the time. It wasn't even 36 hours since he had passed. And here we go. And yet we invest so much that we have into this life that we live. So much of our belongings, so much of our time, so much of our resources into just things. One of the jobs my father-in-law gave me, he was going through paperwork. And he put me in charge of the shredder because there was a whole bunch of stuff there. If you've gone through stuff with your parents or anything, you know. And he was, some of the stuff he didn't even open. I mean, bank statements from 2004 with all the canceled checks and just things he didn't want. I mean, just shred these. And I wasn't trying to get into their business, but I'm just sitting there with a stack of checks. And I'm thinking, as I'm shredding them, you know, this was money that they earned and money that they gave or spent or did things with. And I don't know what they bought. I don't know what they did with that money. I wasn't even looking at the checks, but I'm thinking this is the steps of life. We went through his travel. He loved to travel. And I was pulling out his stuff from the 1970s. My wife kept the passports, but he had gone to Europe. And I'm shredding his train ticket, you know, to go across Europe. Just things that nobody really wanted, things that mean anything. And all those steps that life takes us. If you're in your Bible, to 1 Samuel chapter 20, start in verse number 1. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we sit here this morning in your house, Lord, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, we understand that there's people who would desire to be here but can't because of health. We thank you, Lord, that Brother Jerry's here this morning, not being able to be here for such a long time. Lord, we count that as a miracle. God, as we look into your word this morning, may you burn the steps that we take in life into the proper place. May you help us to stop for a minute and realize where we're at and where we're going. God, I pray you strengthen us this morning. I pray you be with our pastor who's leading the group down in Belize. Give them safety as they travel back tomorrow. Lord, I pray you just have your will and your way in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. David here, it says, there's what one step between me and death. Now, if we were to stop for a minute, we're to realize that David here, although he's been anointed king, he hasn't become king yet. We know from the end of David's life, there's a lot of steps that he's going to take before he gets to death. But he's at this point in his life, and he says, listen, Jonathan, the next step I take is going to be death. Every single step I take, I'm expecting to die. Why would David say that? If you think with me, go back in your mind to what we know of David's life. Remember, David was the youngest of his father's sons. David was in charge of the sheep. His brothers went off to fight in the battle, and he was left there with the sheep. And David is called by his father to go to his brothers and bring word again. And he goes there, and here comes this Goliath. And Goliath comes out, and the end of the story we understand. Let me skip it for sake of time. David kills Goliath. David is sent back. David's already killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. David is eventually brought before Saul. Remember, he brought the head of Goliath as a trophy. He brought it before Saul. And David is before Saul. And not once, but on two different occasions, Saul takes his javelin and throws it at David, seeking to pin him to the wall. And on two different occasions, David leaves his presence. David has gone through a time of hiding, the biggest game of hide and seek. At some point in David's life, David is hiding in a cave, knowing that Saul is looking for him. And who walks into that cave but Saul? Stays in the mouth of the cave while David is hiding in the back part of the cave. David is running for his life. And he says to Jonathan, he says, listen, it doesn't make a difference if I take the smallest step I can think of. It doesn't make a difference if I take a big step. It makes no difference because that next step is death. May I submit to you this morning, the next step you take may be death. The truth of this passage, I understand people who are discouraged, people who are overwhelmed, they always exaggerate things. But the truth is, you and I have no clue how many steps we have left in our life. And wouldn't it be nice if we could take one step and be back in Minnesota? You hurt me, people. Wouldn't it be nice if we could take one step and be with those people who we love that are in a different state? But the truth is, every step we take brings us one step closer to death. Well, may I submit to you this morning, if every step brings us towards death, and I have no clue how many steps I have left, will you stop with me for a minute and consider there's some things that I should take care of right now? First of all, do I have peace with God? If that next step I take is death, do I have peace with God? If the next step was stepping on the streets of solid gold, or to be stepping off into eternity separated from God forever? You can't answer that question for me. And I can't answer it for you. There may be somebody here who's struggling with that this morning. There may be people here who, I remember when I was in college and I was out witnessing and I was giving the gospel to this man, and I asked him, I said, do you know where you're spending eternity? He said, oh yes, I know where I'm going. And it's not heaven. Maybe that's you this morning. Struggling with it, battling with it. Maybe you've come to a place where you just accept it. Like that gentleman had. There's still a way. I'm going to ask you this morning, do you have peace with God? I mean, I didn't ask if you're 100% right with God. I didn't ask if there's sin. I ask if you were to die today, would you stand before God clean? Remember, it's one step. How long is our life? The Bible calls it a vapor which appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Yeah. One step. Hey. Brother Trevor last week mentioned the chapel they had, talking about numbering our days. What if we were to number our step? You might be like that person standing next to a cliff. I've only got 500 steps left, so. One step. Do I have peace with God? Do you know for sure that your sins are washed away? If you do, or if you don't, that can be settled this morning. The second thing I want to talk about is having peace with others. When my grandfather passed away several years ago, his whole theme he wanted for the message, for the memorial service, was he wanted me to preach on love and forgiveness. You see, most of the time in our life, we wait until somebody's passed away before we go and we beg for forgiveness. Most of the time, we wait until it's too late to make amends. We wait until it's too late to say all those nice things about people. We wait until it's too late, till they're gone, till it's just a memory, before we say those words that we should have. We hold a grudge for every step of our life because long ago somebody did us wrong. If you had one step left, what would that step be in life? Would it be a child that you wanted to reach back out to and just let them know? You may have done things wrong with them growing up. You may have treated them wrong. You may have neglected them, whatever it was. Would you try to make amends with them? What about if it was your parents? Would you try to make amends with them before that step was passed? What about somebody here in the church? You sit on the opposite side. You sit in the front to the back. You make sure that you're never alone with them in a room because they said something, they did something. Do you have peace with others? Or do we go through our steps of our life holding grudges and carrying things? David says, listen, Jonathan, every step, in fact, this next step, there's one step. Here and death, it's just one step away. Do you have peace with others? And finally, an introduction. What about peace within? You see, sometimes we go through life and we know what God has for us. We know what God wants us to do, but we push it aside. I'm in the strength of my youth right now, and I'm not going to serve God with it because this is my time. How many people come and grow up in church, and they fall away in their 20s and 30s, and then when they get older and they come back and they say, boy, I wish I could do what I used to do. I wish I had the strength to do it. I just don't anymore. I wish I could serve God with all the vigor of life, but that's past. Yeah. Brother Nick's this morning, he was talking about these lights he put in down here. I hope I don't embarrass him, but he put up this two lights down here on this building, so we'll have some light down here for safety purposes. And he said he came through the other, after he put them up, and he said, only one of them's on. It surely can't have burned out by then. And he said, I forgot to put on the photo cell. His comment this morning was, maybe I should just stop. I'm too forgetful. No, Brother Nix, like all of us, we serve God with the strength we have. I have this step, this day, let's serve God. It may not be what it used to be. It may not be the vigor of life, but it's what God has for me in this step. Peace within. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Or do we simply just say, can't do anymore? My grandmother was 91. Her goal had been to go to our family reunion 3 years ago. And after that, it just kind of, that was her drive. When my grandfather passed away, his goal was to take his daughters back to where he had been stationed in Europe in the military. And they went back to Paris, and they went back into all the different places they had been in Europe. He came back from that trip and enjoyed it so much, he took just one daughter the next time. He came back from that trip and said, well, that was so much fun, so he took his granddaughter and went back. And after that, his health just went down. What are you doing with the steps that you have? We can either dwell on what we've done or what's wishful thinking that will never happen. One step. One step. Do you and I have peace with God? Do we have peace with others in the days we live? And do we have peace within? David is standing here before Jonathan. In context of the previous chapter, David has married Saul's daughter. Saul gave him his daughter as a snare, trying to trap him, trying to find a way where I believe, and if I'm understanding correctly, where he would always know where David was. The problem was is that Saul's daughter, Michal, loved him. And when she knew her father was going to come for him, she made the bed and made it look like he was there, put on goat skin and made it look like he was there, and she sent David away. And David runs to be with Samuel up in Ramoth in verse 18 of chapter 19. And Saul comes, and Michal says, well, he's sick. He's not feeling well. So the servants left, went back to Saul. Saul comes back this next time, and they pull the bed out, and David's not there. She's tricked him. So he finds out that David's up with Samuel up in Ramoth, and he goes up there to find him. And here we lead into this chapter, chapter 20, where David now has left Ramoth. He's fled from Naoth in Ram. And here David goes to Jonathan. David and Jonathan, if you remember, their souls have been knit together. Yeah. Jonathan is the rightful heir to the throne. Do you remember how Saul came into existence? The people rejected God. The people rejected a theocracy. They rejected God's rule, and they wanted to be like all the other nations. And because of that, God gave them Saul, or the people chose Saul. And Saul was head and shoulders above all else. And according to the world in which they lived, the rightful heir was to be the next king of Israel, and that would have been Jonathan. But Samuel poured the oil over David and anointed him king. And when David and Jonathan become friends and their hearts are knit together for the love they have for each other, Saul becomes even more angry. Not only has he thrown the javelin at David, he's thrown it at Jonathan as well. The spirit of anger and bitterness is enraged, has filled Saul to the point where he can't let David be praised for killing thousands or tens of thousands if he's only praised for killing thousands. Before he even gives Michal to wife to David, he says, I want you to go out and kill 100 Philistines and bring back proof of that. And then that'll be your dowry. Hoping that the Philistines kill him. But it doesn't happen that way. And David is standing before Jonathan. And he says, what have I done? What is my iniquity? Why is it that your father wants to kill me? And Jonathan's response is this. God forbid. As David is overwhelmed with life and his age, David is just, he can't hardly figure out what's going on in life. Jonathan says, listen, God forbid. You see, there's the providence, there's the provisions of God. There's the things that God is taking care of in life. David, stop for a minute. When you're discouraged, when you're downtrodden, just remember God's promise you that you're going to be the next king of Israel. Stop for a minute, David. God is, everything that happens in life, God is ushering into you. David, don't you realize that God is giving you provisions? David, don't you realize that God is taking care of you? David, don't you realize? David, stop for a minute. Oh, if we all had a friend like that. David, it may be one step, but there's a whole lot in that step. There may just be one step left in your life, but there's a whole lot that can go on in that step. Let's stop for a minute. Today, right now, what are the provisions of God? He realized that nothing could happen to David unless God allowed it. As downtrodden as we get in life, as overwhelming as it is at times, God allows what we need in life.
Yeah.
He goes on in verse 2, and he says, God forbid, thou shalt not die.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. David is saying the next step I take is going to bring death. And Jonathan says, you're not going to die. Isn't it amazing that David, the mighty warrior, the one who the Israelites ascribed tens of thousands to kill him, the one who killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands, the one who went and slew Goliath, the one who went and all the armies stood behind him as he defeated the Philistines time after time again. The one that the Philistines feared. And he says, listen, Jonathan, the next step I take, your father's going to kill me. And Jonathan says, David, wait a minute. Stop for a minute. Would you quit exaggerating? Would you stop and realize where you are in life? Would you just shut your mouth? Listen, you're not going to die. There's a whole lot left worth of a life worth living. Listen, not only is God providing for you, God is protecting you. Don't you realize that Saul was a warrior. When he threw that javelin, it wasn't like a little hot potato toss. He threw it with intent. He knew how to throw a javelin. And it wasn't once. It was on two occasions that he took it and threw it with one direct throw. Actually, the first time, did he throw it twice? David, don't you realize that God is protecting you? You have a purpose in life, and God is watching over you. How many times can we say we've been in life, and we can just say, God's protected me? There's been times in my life when I can guarantee you God had a part in protecting me. Why does God do that? Because God has a plan for you. Amen. You say, there's only one step between me and death. Yes, but in that step is God's protection. Amen. Let's stop for a minute, people. Realize that God is there at every step. God is protecting us. In Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, Isaiah is saying, listen, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper because God is there protecting us.
Yeah.
Turn your Bibles with me very quickly to Psalm chapter 91. I thought I was going to have extra time today because I got in early. Psalm chapter 91 says this, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, and it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High God, thy habitation. I want to challenge you this morning. God is there protecting you. In Psalm chapter 8, David says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" In the scheme of the universe, I know when you were 16 years old, you thought you were top dog. I understand that. All of us did. But now for a minute, in your the wisdom that you've gathered since then, stop for a minute. What are you in comparison to all the world? All of us would have to stop and say, nothing. And yet God bends his ear when we pray. And yet God says, I will move a mountain if you have the faith. God says, I sent my son for you. And I want you to be with me in paradise, in heaven. What is man? God is giving the protection. How about if we took this next step? And in taking this step, we said, God is mindful of me. God is protecting me right now. God is thinking of me right now. God, I am on God's mind. Because you know what? We are. First of all, Jonathan says, listen, God is providing for you. God is protecting you. And finally, Jonathan says, listen, David, not only is God providing for you, not only is God protecting you, but God has given you great promises. Let me read on. Let me read the whole verse too. And he said, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. Jonathan goes on and says, listen, David, you can rest assured that my father is going to tell me what's going on. But even if my father were wrong, you have the promise of God. Even if everything else is wrong in life, you have the promise of God. How about Matthew chapter 6? Just listen as I read this. Matthew chapter 6. I didn't mark it, so I'll have to find it quickly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, neither yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What's our theme for this year? Christ first. Christ first. You say, well, I'm so discouraged. Wherever I'm at in life, there's only one step. Don't we have a promise of God? And if God was to be with me in this next step, if God is to be with me in the next place I go, if God is to be with me in the next thing I do, if God is to be... He is. He is. There's a chorus that we sang in college, and I'm not going to sing it, but I'll read it for you. It says this, every step I take with Jesus. He is always at my side. o'er the hills and walking through the valleys, he will always be my guide. Every step I take with Jesus. When beset and sorely tried, he is my strength, he is my hope of glory. In his love I shall abide.
Amen.
You say, Brother Hub, there truly is only one step between me and death. Welcome to the club. We finally have the right view of life. But in that step, first of all, let's you and I make sure that we have peace with God. Before you take that step this morning, would you settle that? You see, before you take that step that you claim is your last, would you make peace with others? Before you take your last step, would you make peace within and do what God has burdened you to do? And as discouraging as life is at times, as overwhelming as it is, would we stop for a minute and before we start passing on our discouragement to others, before we cast the shadow of negativity across everything in life, would we stop for a minute and realize that God is providing for us? That God is protecting us. And every promise in this book is mine.
Amen.
How's that song go? Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our promises of his love divine, every promise in this book is mine. One step. One step. That's it. It may be a shuffle. It may be a leap. But it's only one step. I ask you one question this morning. What direction are you going? Here physically this morning, I'm going to ask you to come this way before you go that way. You might need to go this way before you go that way. One step. That's it. Everyone in this room are the same. One step.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be nice if we could, like my daughter said, have one step and take it anywhere we wanted to in the United States of America. But you know what? One day that step won't take us here in America. It'll take us in the presence of God.
Amen.
One step. But in that step, what are we doing? I'm going to bow your head and close your eyes. Here this morning, may you help us to realize that you're with us. May you help us to realize that you have something for us in the steps that we take. May you help us to realize that we can invest or we can cast aside. God, I pray you'd use us this week. Bring us back to your house this evening. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.